Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together and talk about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected on the earth and in our culture, in our history that we're making, and in our lives around it. This is Mark Waltz speaking to you from New York City. And also from New York City is...
Ann Ortley. I'm over here on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk. And we're waiting for Heather, who should be joining us shortly from the lovely part of... There she is. Heather's arriving now. Da-da-da-da. And Heather Roan Robbins. Heather, hi.
Yes, this is Heather from Minnesota.
Yeah. So,
good. Got any snow?
We have a few inches of snow. We've only about 4 or 5. It's pretty lovely. Just south of us is a major storm hitting the country right now, again. But in the area that the drought was worst. So actually, just south of us, in Nebraska and Kansas, they were dancing in the snow because it meant moisture for the spring.
Yes.
So that's cool. Yay,
and
we love
all
water.
The planets in Pisces, we're finally getting some precipitation in a very badly dry area. So
yeah.
We're pretty happy about it, actually.
Very cool.
Except
that's
with the drivers.
Good news. Had by all. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what we do here on Access Astrology is we talk about the heavens. So all the personal planets, as Heather just mentioned, are in Pisces. Venus got in there tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 9:03 actually. Mm-hmm. And we have her in Pisces for 24 days. So the whole sky is full of water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, with that full moon in Virgo, kind of nudging everybody's issues. See if you can tap dance on some more of them. Past that, but that's an interesting process with that full moon in Virgo. How are you feeling that, Ann?
My phone is still acting a little crazy, and I've got a cold, so I'm having a health thing. I got this, I went away to Maine last weekend, and I had five state germs, you know. We go through New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, you know. So I figure I hadn't been in that many rest stops on that many roads in a long time. And those germs just saw a little willing person, and they hopped in me. So I'm a little snuffly and a little sneezy, and I'm sleeping a lot, which is good. But, nothing too bad, just, the basic yucky.
I think a lot of people should just get colds with this lineup because it gives us an excuse to just be in dreamland.
Yes. That's what I liked. I just said I'm going to bed,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if we can only do that without getting the cold. But
yeah,
it's needing that time off right now.
Right. It's like the body goes, okay, you can actually call people and say you can't do a reading because you're sick. Because you do cold meds and you lose your brain. So it's like, okay, that works.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's good. All good, although I haven't done that. I've been doing the readings anyway, but I probably should say, my brain might be impaired. You want me to not do your reading? So it's good. But, yeah, it's a busy week. Mark and I were talking before you came that also we got the sun aspecting on the finger of God at the end of the week. So it's a big week, lots of Neptune, lots of water.
It is.
Yeah.
And it is so, it's interesting last night watching the Oscars. The good part of it was that people were participating in the dream of old Hollywood. I noticed that. And the movie that won with Neptune and Pisces was a dreamlike event that took place entirely on an ocean, Life of Pi, who won his best picture with Neptune and Pisces. So it's that was an interesting reflection to the coast.
Well, that was the director. He won best director.
Best director.
Yeah. I think Argo won for best picture, which is... Which apparently people were going, well, it's not 100% true how it went down, Like, really? Okay, cool. How did it go down? This is a movie. It's fiction. Isn't it? But people get very literal. And I guess they were mad at Steven Spielberg, too, because he had Connecticut vote wrong in Lincoln, which I hadn't really picked up on the controversy. but they missed, they put Connecticut in the wrong pile, and Connecticut actually voted to abolish slavery, and they said they didn't, and yada yada. So who knows? It's like people get a little, you know, is it really history or is it a movie, you know? So where's the line? So it's definitely an interesting week ahead of us. So, Mark, what do you think about the week?
Well, remember Mercury's retrograde.
Yep.
So we have that the whole time. Which, it's always interesting when Mercury's retrograde, because it touches on all the aspects that it's just visited, but now it's going backwards. And so it ticks off everything that it just did going backwards, and then it'll come back out again. A lot of those things will have shifted by the time it comes back out, the fast-moving planets. But the slower ones, it always touches just the same. And that's always fun to watch. We get a little of that this week. Actually, next week it is a little more active with that. But because it's just started its backward journey now, which is in Pisces the whole time. Right? It doesn't change size.
And it links up with Mars, too, which is big.
Yeah.
How do you see Mercury when it links up with Mars? How do you interpret that one?
That's a real speed up in certainly the effort to communicate. Not always the best results. Because sometimes, you know, the mind works faster than the...
Yes.
You know, then we can really process, but... It definitely throws a little speed into the whole communicating.
Mm-hmm. It's been interesting with the Mercury-Mars. You can also see transportation accidents. And with Pisces, you think, you must be about the weather. And sure enough, one of the problems with the storm that's hitting south is that there are hundreds and hundreds of cars that are stuck on an unplowable highway. And there's going to be some major rescue efforts to help the drivers that are stuck on the highway when the storm hits.
Right. Right.
So that's Mercury Mars in Pisces. And I also see this week, you know, the battle for can they get, you know, as Mark was saying, they have to hurry up and communicate. They've got 4 days before the government goes into sequestering and automatic cuts. How much that is a part of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That Mars, that the hurry up, the impatience on the communication, the tension and the arguments about it, and because it's Mercury retrograde, they're going very fast around in circles.
Yeah, and not solving anything. And it's the same problem back again. I mean, we didn't solve
it
before. Are we going to fix it? Are we going to kick it down the street a little further, you know? Because they just kicked it down the curb from the beginning of the year to now. And, you know, you can do that just so long. We raised the ceiling, and now we're okay. What are we doing again? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You do get the sense that Congress is a little bit out of control or not particularly functional. And, of course, this week the Pope steps down on Thursday, on the 28th. So that also marks the first time in 719 years somebody has resigned from that office voluntarily. So that's kind of a big shift too for certainly the Catholics in the world and the organization of that body. So I think it's, you know, watching the changing energy. It's just a very change. You know, I like to think of Pisces as being nonlinear. You know, it's very chaos and very, it's like the ocean. You know, the waves are coming. Sometimes they're little waves. Sometimes they're big waves. They're constantly shifting and changing. There's a rhythm to them, but it's, you know, it's an underlying rhythm. And so this energy is all about this kind of renewal, really, and transformation, but through kind of an ongoing, relentless movement against what has been in place for a long time. So it's pretty profound energy. And I know, you know, my desire is to sleep, but I've got a cold. I have people report, the Pisces are all reporting in that they're loving it, you know, they're feeling like little porpoises in the world, like the whole world is supporting them and they're completely happy, but everybody else seems to be like, I don't have any energy, I just want to sleep, I want to just curl up in my bed. So, what are you seeing in your practice, Heather?
Exactly. I found a lot of people also are calling for very short readings about a specific panic attack they're having.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize that it's actually not just a very short reading, that they're really having a panic attack, that the panic attack they had about one little problem that they called about was really nervousness about everything else in their life.
Right.
And that where, you know, people are feeling a lot of emotion and a lot of nerve and worry and concern. Some people, not everybody. Some people just feeling spacey and reading escapist fiction or, you know, kind of having a pleasant time. But, you know, some people are feeling this as an attack of nerves and that they can spin off. It's easy to spin off wherever our mind goes. And if our mind goes into a nice, pleasant fog, great. If it goes into depression, great. If it goes into dreaming or creating, wonderful. If it goes into worry, it can get really lost in the worry. And so if I is unpacking that worry and seeing what is not noticing the quality of the emotion rather than attaching to the story. And that we're storytellers now, but look at the story for what it means about our feelings, not believing the lines of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the big issues that I'm seeing in my clients right now.
Yeah. And then also, do you talk to them about how to change the story, or are they really just trying to understand it?
And not so much affect a change, because most of these things, really what needed to change was how they were thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
not what was going on. That they needed either a little bit more real facts about the situation they were involved in, they didn't have them,
mm-hmm.
so they were spinning story. So sometimes the medicine is get something solid to stand on, get some real facts. The other piece was to just notice how their mind works, and if their mind was following worry and wasn't following opportunity and wasn't paying attention to gratitude and wasn't, you know, noticing what works, or they were, you know, having trouble getting something done, so they were kind of going on and on about how horrible they were that they couldn't get anything done. And I could offer, actually, right now it's not the time to worry about trying to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Do the minimum necessary and give yourself a lot of pat on the back for just that, and use this as dreaming time, as visioning time.
Right. Yeah, it's not really time to get anything done. It's just not supposed to have that happen, right?
I'd say if you buy anything, keep the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
If you, you know, make a decision. I have one client really pressured to buy a piece of investment property, and it looks like just too good to believe the deal. And I go, yes, that means it's too good to believe the deal. you know, I'm not feeling like being pressured right now usually means that you don't have the information that you need. But only follow through on decisions that you really feel in your gut, in your heart, rather than have talked your mind into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the talked your mind into ones can get you into some serious trouble down the road.
Right. Yeah, right now.
Yeah. Because there really just isn't enough reality to stand on.
Yeah.
It just, there's no base. No base, it's in the water, it's underground, it's underwater. Doesn't mean it's not there, but it's just not really solid and foundational. So, yeah. And also the full moon finishes up the story from last summer, summer of 2011, when we had Hurricane Irene come to the upper east coast of the United States. So you're finishing up the story from that last week in August of 2011. So there are people from that time can be back. Stories from that time can be back. Part of the journey that you've done from then is back up again running for you. So, you know, allowing that all to kind of take place and move forward, all to the good. And, you know, it's very helpful, you know, from the point of view of knowing that there's these bigger cycles at work. You know, there isn't really a lot you can do right now except float and dream and have a good time. And understand that that anxiety is really tied to a sense of, oh, I have to be busy, but the universe is saying, ah, not so fast. Everything's in water. All the personal planets are in water. Heather, will you often talk about when Venus hits Neptune and with That happens this week, and we also have Neptune hitting Mars.
And Venus, and I worry when Venus and Jupiter get connect because it's beautiful, but Venus and Neptune is another part of that. It can have dreamy, wonderful moments. And if you've got a place to put your anima, your love of beauty and your love of affection, it can be nice and romantic. But it can really build up the illusion of love. And, you know, it's very easy, even in the healthiest relationships, people tend to begin to build up expectations or assumptions that can get them in trouble. It's a great time to practice psychic awareness and to meditate and do opening up the channels and listening to dreams. That's beautiful. But to be really careful with those assumption patterns. What I see dangerous in the culture and in this is that people that have four screws loose can be that the fixation on an external female, on an anima figure outside of themselves, so they can develop obsessions or anger that they don't have the love they would like because their heart, you know, the desire to love gets strong. And if you don't have a cat, you don't have a dog, you don't have somebody to love, it can come out in anger at that. And I've seen Venus, Neptune, and Venus, Jupiter aspects strong when, you know, someone goes into McDonald's and shoots all the women in the room or something like that.
Right.
So it, you know, that's something most of us don't have to worry about, but we can, you know, reach out and just connect with the people that we know that are lonely this week, because the desire to love and be loved and to feel safe, to feel warm, is strong.
Right.
And just kind of, you know, it's a great way to do meta meditation and use our hearts to love all sentient beings and, you know, love, use it in a more transcendental way. And
that's
forgive
good.
People
yeah,
for being human. Mm-hmm.
That's a very good thing to tune into. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it'll work very powerfully now.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerfully in terms of connecting people and connecting them back into what's really truly important. You know, a lot of times when we're in really swirling nonlinear times, if we try and apply linear to it, it doesn't work. But if we just try and float on our backs and gaze at the heavens, we get a whole different perspective. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a week for that kind of energy. So. All right, so we've got some callers on the line, and we have 11 minutes left,
mm-hmm.
so I think we'll take a caller, hopefully.
Yeah.
Where would we go? If you've called before, we're asking you, you know, take new callers, so we're going to ask 615-227. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Cool. All right, do you have a question?
I do. It's about work, and... I'm starting on a new project with my boyfriend, actually, and it has to do with monetizing my artwork on a website.
Okay.
And so when were you born?
June 6th, 1958, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
And what time?
3:38 a.m.
Okay, so you're working on monotyping with... Are you still living in Harrisburg, or do you live somewhere else?
No, I live in Nashville, actually.
Nashville now, okay. Well...
So you've got a website, you're putting your artwork on it, and you're trying to figure out how to make money off of your artwork.
Actually, I've made money off my artwork for about 30 years, but it was in licensing, and that has gotten... to not feel authentic anymore. So I'm trying to make work in a new way. And because that was also declining financially over the last several years. And so now I'm looking at I don't want to talk about it too much because it's kind of a...
Okay, don't worry about that.
Secret idea.
Just a new project is all we really need to know.
Yeah.
And it is... And so the question about it, you don't have to tell us too much about the project, but if you can help us understand the question.
Oh, since I made this decision several months ago, I thought, okay, I'm just going to wait. And if it is the right thing, then the universe will come in and support it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been getting other design jobs from two different sources, and that seems to be paying the bills right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what's a good time to roll this out. And
okay.
Is that a good assumption? You know,
certainly want to wait until Mercury goes direct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
and I'm thinking like early next year or late this year.
Okay.
It's a really deep thing, and it's going to take a lot of time to develop, and we've been working on it a
while. Your progressed Mars has just come across the ascendant and is sitting right on your
natal Venus.
Your Venus in the first house, your Mercury, your Venus in the first house, and it looks like it's time to take action on the work that you do, and your Venus rules your ascendant. Natalie, so that looks really powerful. You're right at the lunar moon return, so you're really coming home to yourself, and your progressed moon moving across your ascendant, into your 11th house, and really, you know, opening up your community around this work over the next, you know, the next 18, 19 months.
Oh, cool.
So it looks like a very good time to be doing this.
Yeah, you're really starting some really major big cycles with Jupiter starting a new 12-year
mm-hmm.
cycle around how you make money,
mm-hmm.
thinking back to 2001, and also how you express yourself as he comes to
Jupiter
your son.
Jupiter in second.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's a new 2001, 80, 89, 77. Each of those years you brought in new money making. Saturn's angular. He's going to be there for 3 years. He just rose above the horizon in November in the West. So he's saying, okay, let me get my work out into the market in a different way. And Saturn for you is a creative planet. He's in the ninth house, so it's, you know, how you get paid or how your artwork is valued by others. So that's a nice placement. The lunar return always starts a whole new way of thinking. And Mars leaving the 12th is kind of getting out from being behind the scene, meaning you've done a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
I would guess, for other people, but not necessarily with your own name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so with now with mm-hmm. Mars in the first, that opens. Saturn's going to go back and forth over the Venus and the Mars this year, so it's a good time to define. And if we think of your career as 14-year chunks, 1998 to last February, was about being in the world kind of freelance. 1984 to 98 was more corporate girl, more corporate work.
Yeah.
70 to 84 was kind of learning how to express yourself and what you wanted to really do. Now you're entering the, okay, I'm an artist, this is who I am, kind of a standing in your own stuff. And then next year your progressed sun comes to Uranus, which is a huge breakthrough, breakout in the world. So I think you're really primed for it to really take off. So I would, you know, you've got really good instincts with this chart anyway, with the Mars and Pisces in the 12th, like when it should happen and when it should launch. So I think those times resonate with you in terms of previous career cycles. You're at a really big turning point this year with it, too. Plus, you're going to have a nodal return in the next year. So that always adds a huge change to the life. Mark, what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with nodal return that comes up too, that puts you in touch with this, the whole nodal axis between Scorpio and Taurus, and the Taurus end is the one that develops slowly for you, and that's, you know, that is the artistic and also how you realize money from your art. So it's slower to arrive, and you have to work it more. And with the nodal return, you kind of get a boost, and you'll feel like that's what you should be doing, moving from a more your own deeper psychological perceptions into how you express them and relate them to others. And as you do that, that's moving you into the realm of making, finding new ways to make money from it. So. It's all pointing in that direction.
But it's work to be done, and it is a Saturn hands-on kind of thing, making careful decisions and then figuring out which steps you need to take to make it all happen, and then just taking it step by step.
Okay.
There is a little caveat. You are going to have the progressive moon come to Chiron in the 11th house. So one of the things you might want to investigate in terms of the internet is copyright rules and things in terms of your work. Because the moon to Chiron, there's kind of this broad-based, if it's on the internet, I can take it because it's mine too kind of thing, which is going to make your Venus and Taurus a little possessive. So that may be an area you want to really scope out, how you plan on handling it or what you want to do with it, because that is an area in your chart that gets wounded when people take your work without appropriate attribution.
Mm-hmm.
And so the progressive moon does come to that point and triggers it in about 11 months, 9 months in there. So that's a little area you maybe want to be clear on before you release it. But the moon squaring the Saturn right now, it is, or Saturn squaring the progressive moon and the natal moon is very much about, okay, how do I get back out in the world in a different level? And Saturn, of course, is a career planet for you because he's the ruler of your midheaven.
Okay.
I would also suggest that with Jupiter going, spending the next year in your second house can be very good for you financially, as long as you don't spend more than you make.
Yeah.
So it's a year where there will be many opportunities coming in, and it's a great time to expand your business in a new direction. But it asks you to wait for you until you actually have the money to spend it, to invest in this, but not spend so much money that you get deeply in debt. Just be focused on how you garden this money, and it will serve you in really well.
Okay. Well, good. I'm already that way. So
great.
All right. And I have
always good
you.
To have your natal affirmations affirmed, right? With Venus Taurus on the rising sign, yeah. I do pay attention to how it comes in and how it goes out, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. All right,
very
good.
Much.
Yeah, no, good
okay.
luck with it. I
Wonderful.
Think it looks good. And also with the Sun in Gemini, earning money from multiple sources is always a good thing with your chart.
Oh,
so,
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
two sources
that's what I've been
income.
Doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
well
Gemini likes the variety. It makes you get a little crazy if you get stuck with just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh,
it's
yeah.
always good to have multiple channels coming in that you can go, oh, okay, I'm tired of that, I want to go do something else. And then when you're off doing it, it kind of completely refreshes your
Absolutely,
inner,
which is
yeah.
what I'm doing right now. When, something comes in,
mm-hmm.
I work on it. It's like that brings in money, and then when that's not there, then I go and work on the major project. So
Right.
And I have to thank you guys. It's funny, this week, actually today, I spent in bed. Because,
oh, okay.
As Anne once said, the moon, I guess from August of 2011, completed
uh-huh.
a cycle. And that's when my mother died.
Oh,
and
okay.
And that's when I called you guys, like a few weeks later, and you guys were great and gave me a lot of wonderful, nurturing advice, and I really appreciate it.
Wow, and now here you are back on the full moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, welcome back, and, happy healing,
Well, thanks.
And a good to take a day in bed. That's what I'm doing in about 30 seconds is getting into my bed with my pajamas and a couple of cats,
I have those, too.
Okay,
so.
Well, have a wonderful time.
All right,
keep us
posted. All right.
Thanks.
The British lady is speaking that we're done. 60 seconds,
okay.
Anne Ortley here, Access Astrology. Mark and I speak at the Church of the Transfiguration on Tuesdays, and you enter through the Open Center on 30th Street, 22 East 30, between Madison and 5th. And Heather, you doing anything this week?
We transfigure. How lovely.
Yeah, we transfigure ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I'm holding my Living Astrology Chart Clinic here. Bring your charts. Talk astrology with me on the first Tuesday of every month. So.
Okay, that sounds cool. So Anne Ortley signing off from the Upper East Side.
And Heather Owen Robin from,
Heather from St. Paul, right?
Yep. And take care, stay warm, stay safe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye, folks. See you next week. Bye.